Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are not back in our studio inside Renaissance Bank in Alpharetta, but we're looking forward to getting there someday soon. In the meantime, folks, if you're tired of the big bank experience, automated voices and 1-800 numbers and them doing any way they can to avoid talking to you as a small business owner, my suggestion is go to renaissancebank.com and find their local office, some 200 across the South ready to serve you, one of those offices that is nearest you, and give them a call. And what you'll find is a real person there ready to help and ready to listen to what your needs are and be of service. I've found that in my dealings with Renaissance, and I think you will too. So check them out at renaissancebank.com. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Christy Simmons. And Christy is, she's the executive director at Atlanta Angels. Christy, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So let's talk about how you're serving folks at Atlanta Angels. What are you doing there?
Sure. So we walk alongside children, youth, and families in the foster care community through intentional giving, relationship building, and mentorship. So we really come alongside and support those who are experiencing foster care and kind of walk alongside them.
Now, you've got a very personal story, like a lot of folks that have they're in the nonprofit world. You've got a heart for this because of your personal story, right?
That's right. Yep. My husband and I adopted our daughter through the foster system a few years ago. So we are well acquainted with kind of what it's like to walk inside the foster system and just really the need for support and the need for some of those extra resources and people who understand what it's like.
So what, I mean, let's talk about children that are in foster care first, and then those foster parents and the adults that are involved with foster kids, because each of them have their own sets of needs. So let's talk about the children that are in foster care right now. Why don't you describe what that looks like?
Absolutely. Yep. So there are over 5,000 children in foster care in the Metro Atlanta area on any given day, over 15,000 in the state of Georgia. And children in foster care, you know, they've experienced at least two traumas. Whatever trauma, whatever abuse or neglect led to the removal from the home, and then the actual removal from the home is an additional trauma, right? So they're placed with a foster family. And one of our goals is to really kind of build those healthy relationships. We come from what's called a TBRI, or trust-based relational intervention model, to help to heal some of that trauma that those children have experienced through those healthy relationships, to really pour into them. We say that we believe every child deserves a healthy adult who knows the colors of their eyes and the passions of their heart. So it's about really getting to know these children and providing that consistency and that support. One of the goals of our programs is to keep them in the same home, to reduce placement instability. So over 30% of children in foster care have been in three or more placements while in foster care. And every time they move home, it's not only a new trauma, but it's also setting them back 4 to 6 months developmentally. And so we want to come in and pour into the children in care, but then also support the entire foster family so that placement can work and that they can stay in one place and really be able to build that trust.
And let's turn to the foster parents. That requires its own level of dedication that is hard for a lot of us to even fathom, that someone is willing to step in and really be a temporary guardian, right, of a foster child. Talk about the unique issues that they have to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we work with a lot of really incredible people who are opening their homes to these children and youth. And it is, it's hard work. So, you know, over 50% of foster parents will close their homes within the first 6 months to a year, just because of how difficult it is and the lack of support that they do receive traditionally. So what we want to do is come alongside and support them so that they're able to keep their homes open. You know, a lot of foster parents get some good support, kind of like bringing home a baby from the hospital, right? Maybe they get meals and they get some new clothes and things like that. But the fact is that the needs don't stop after a few weeks from the children coming into the home. It's, you know, a long adjustment period. Again, they're basically strangers, right? So it's a period of building trust and relationships between the foster parents and children. It's continuing to go to court dates, you know, medical appointments, doctor's visits. A lot of times there's, you know, that trauma causes maybe behavioral issues or getting acquainted with a new school. And so there's just these ongoing needs for support when children are moved from the home. You know, that's grief. And oftentimes there's, you know, this idea of, well, you signed up for it. But I got to tell you, that does not make it any less difficult when you have built this relationship and you love these children as your own. And then they are removed from your home for some reason, even if it's positive, right? Even if they're being reunified with their birth parent. Mm-hmm. And so there's that mix of kind of joy, but also sadness. And so having people who really understand and can support emotionally and socially and financially is so crucial to them being able to continue to do this work for a long period of time.
And I'm assuming that part of what you bring to the table with foster parents is you must be bridging a gap that does not exist in the state or that's not bridged by the state continuum of care. I mean, these are children that mm-hmm. are in the technically in the custody of the state of Georgia, right? They don't have the resources or what have you, that they don't expend the resources for these parents and these children that is sometimes needed.
Yeah, we're filling a gap, and mm-hmm. you know, our goal is to kind of really change the experience of foster care for these children and families. The foster care staff. What we do is our program match a volunteer or a volunteer who comes to a year at minimum to kind of pour into that foster family on a monthly basis. And so, again, we're always relational, not transactional. So there is the financial support piece, but that's always within the context of relationship. And so with a Lovebox group, the volunteer or group of volunteers is kind of coming in with the physical Lovebox. And so that's the financial support piece, but those are practical, needed items, again, based on what that specific foster family needs that specific month. And so that could be anything from like groceries to, you know, last year around this time, toilet paper was like gold. So we were doing a lot of household essentials. Mm-hmm. But it could be something, you know, maybe less, kind of basic like that, something like a date night for the parents while the volunteer babysits the children, or taking the children on a fun activity, or paying for a sports entry fee for one of the children in care. So it really can be anything based, again, on their specific needs, which again are known within the context of relationship. But the probably more important piece is the building that relationship over time. So it's spending time with each of the members of the family, getting to know them, offering that emotional support, you know, coming for a cup of coffee or giving the parents a break, really pouring into the children and getting to know them. So that's our Lovebox program. And, you know, we got a note from a foster mama that we support a few weeks ago who said that, you know, fostering is so hard, but the support that their family's receiving from our organization and from her Lovebox group is making their girls thrive. And, you know, they had previously thought about closing their home, and now they're, you know, they're doing well and their little home is humming. And so this support is really, you know, changing the experience of foster care for the families and children.
Folks, we're here chatting with Christy Simons, and Christy is the executive director of Atlanta Angels. So, Christy, you've got some specific programs that you have got, one called the Love Box program. Tell folks a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Love Box program is where we match a volunteer or a group of volunteers with a local foster family to kind of pour into them on a monthly basis for at least a year-long commitment. And so the Love Box is kind of a physical Love Box that includes sort of practical needed gifts each month specific to that foster family, as well as emotional social support, building relationships with each member of the family, a handwritten letter to each member of the family every month. And through that program, we support not only the children in care or the foster parents, but also any adopted or biological siblings in the home, with recognition that truly the entire family is impacted in the experience of foster care. That's our Love Box program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've got a Dare to Dream program.
Yeah. Our Dare to Dream program is geared toward youth who are at risk of aging out or who have aged out of foster care. And so where our Love Box program is really seeking to heal some of that trauma that children have experienced, and to, you know, reduce placement instability, reduce the 50% of parents who will close their homes in the first year. Our Dare to Dream program is geared toward, again, building those healthy relationships with the youth in foster care, but also really changing the outcomes for youth who age out. And for people who don't know what aging out of foster care means, what that means is that when they turn 18, they have not been reunified with birth parents or adopted or in a permanent placement. So they're in the foster system when they turn 18. And so what we know is that the outcomes for those who age out are, honestly, they're pretty bleak. Less than half will graduate from high school, and only 3% will make it to college. Only about half of those will graduate from college, which leads to, upon aging out immediately, 20% will be homeless. And over time, that number only grows. So that what we know now is 50% of our homeless population spent time in foster care. Beyond that, 75% of our prison population and over 90% of sex trafficked individuals all spend time in foster care. And so what we want to do is change those outcomes kind of more immediately, but ultimately create the systemic change, right, where those numbers are drastically changing. So with our Dare to Dream program, we match a youth or young adult, again, who's at risk of aging out or has aged out of foster care, with an adult for one-on-one mentoring. Mm-hmm. And we provide a framework to walk through 10 milestones. And these milestones are things that a lot of us probably take for granted because, you know, our parents just taught us these things or helped us with them. But they're really those kind of crucial life skills. So these are things like going and opening their bank account, getting their driver's license, graduating from high school, going on college visits. I mean, imagine, you know, having someone to take you on college visits or walk you through that application process. Mm. And then ultimately it's graduating from high school, and it's choosing postgraduate plans, either trade school, military, or college, and securing living arrangements upon aging out as well. And that's our traditional Dare to Dream, which is geared toward ages 15 to 21. And then we also have a Dare to Dream Junior for ages 11 to 14, and those milestones are a little bit different, more age appropriate, but things like building self-esteem and learning internet safety and beginning to think about some career exploration. Because by the time youth hit age 11 in foster care, they're already starting to be at that age of at risk of aging out, because every year they get older, their likelihood of becoming adopted decreases. And so we want to start pouring into them with that mentoring and those healthy, consistent relationships early.
I would assume you're looking for mentors for this program.
We are, yeah. We're looking for mentors, for Dare to Dream, for Lovebox leaders. And, you know, it really doesn't take anything special. We will do, you know, the background checking and the training and kind of walking with both the mentor and the mentee. It really just takes someone who's, you know, able to give that time and consistency. You know, children and youth spell love, T-I-M-E. And so it's showing up consistently. We recommend, you know, setting a specific time, that, you know, every Tuesday at 5 or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But these kids in care, you know, one thing we know is that they've been disappointed. They probably, it's going to take a little bit more to earn their trust. And so that consistency and that time is so key. And so it doesn't take anything, you know, beyond that. And we've got some cool partnerships too, where, you know, if finances aren't really your thing, we can connect you with, a financial planner to help with that, but it's having someone to kind of walk with them through some of those classes and learning those skills.
Sure. Folks, we're here chatting with Christy Simons, and she's the executive director of Atlanta Angels. Terrific work with foster children and young people, and the foster parents that are involved here as well. So, Christy, we're here taping this show as of near the end of March 2021, but you've got an event coming up in May, mm-hmm. that you'd like everyone to know about, that would be is a good way to support your nonprofit.
We do. Yeah. May is actually National Foster Care Awareness Month. So we'll have several things going on that month, but kind of our big thing is our golf tournament, which will be Saturday, May 15th at Bears Best. Will be a really fun day, but a great way to support our organization. So if you're a golfer or know of any, grab a team and register. Or if you're a company or a business who wants to sponsor, we've got some great opportunities for both of those. And we'll have, you know, again, if you're listening after May, we'll have a tennis tournament coming up this fall. So, you know, all these events are always listed on our website.
And we'll ask about that again here shortly, but let's give everyone the website there.
Yeah, it's atlantaangels.org.
Okay. Now, you're part of a national organization. You're the local chapter of a national organization. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we at Atlanta Angels, we launched last January 2020, right before COVID. So, you know, it's been interesting and in some ways difficult, but also has really just kind of highlighted the needs and for our programs. The needs in the foster care community have only increased throughout COVID. And so it's made our work, you know, even more important. And in our first year, we were able to serve over 200 children 364 times. So it was really incredible to see the community come alongside and support us and support these families and children in care. But despite us being new, our organization and our programs are not. So we were founded in Austin. Austin Angels was our first chapter, and they've been doing these programs since about 2011. And we now have over 20 chapters nationally. So these programs are, you know, tried and true and doing tons of good work. There's, you know, I think over 1,000 children supported by these programs nationally every month.
Well, and that gives you, you know, as like you said, I mean, you really hit some, unbeknownst to you, some rocky times early on with the pandemic. I mean, that gives you as an executive director of a local chapter some support being part of that national organization that can help you navigate some of those tough times that you've encountered.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a lot of us in it together and, you know, a lot of chapters who have experienced some hard times that they've had to navigate before that too. So
sure.
Sure.
So, yeah, this is awesome work, and I would love it if you would just maybe give a story or two that you think are maybe representative of the kind of work that you do and the relationship building, I guess, is something that stands out for me that you talked about. Maybe you can give us a story or two that help folks latch on to what your mission's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. A story I love is of a woman who was a love box leader for a foster family and had been walking with them and building a really great relationship with the children in care for some time. And the children were going to be reunified. And I think she was feeling a little bit unsure about that and what that would look like. And she was actually at a baseball game for these children. And she was sitting next to someone and asked, "Who are you here for?" And turns out they were there for the same kids. And he was actually the birth father who the kids were about to be reunified with. And through her kind of meeting him, she said she realized that, she felt like kind of a grandmother for these kids. And she said, these kids needed a grandmother, but he also needed a mother. And so she was able to, one thing we really try to do with our programs is follow these children. So if they're moved or if they're reunified, our programs continue to support through that process. And so she was able to continue to provide that support through the Love Box program as the children moved back and were reunified with their dad. And she was able to pour into not only those kids, but also him as he transitioned back into being a father. So that's a really neat, thing that our programs do is follow these kids and make sure that they're having that consistency and support wherever they are.
Yeah, and again, so important because as you say, or as you said earlier, these children have had such inconsistency in their lives and the relationships in their lives prior to your intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. We want to be that consistency. If they're moved, their placement is moved, or they're, like I said, reunified, or they're adopted, we try to follow them. Just last Christmas, we did a holiday drive, and we were able to serve 159 children, fulfilling wish list needs and providing Christmas presents. And we had a child that we served with his family. And then he was moved to his permanent placement, and we went in and served them too in their new placement right before Christmas. So, we were able to kind of follow and make sure that he was getting that consistent support, and that we helped them celebrate kind of the ending of the placement and celebrate the new permanent placement in his new home.
Great work, folks, here from Christy Simmons, and she is the executive director of the Atlanta Angels. Christy, wow. What great work you and your colleagues do there at Atlanta Angels. I would love it at this point if you could give your coordinates, contact information for those that want to be in touch. Maybe they're interested in the golf tournament. Maybe they're interested in volunteering. But how can they connect with you?
Absolutely. Yep. So atlantaangels.org is our website, and you can find all the information about all of our programs, events right there. You can reach out to us via email at info@atlantaangels.org.
Christy Simmons, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Folks, just a quick reminder here. If you've got issues in your business that involve things like bookkeeping, administrative, talking about things that need to be done, but that you as a business owner should be involved in, that you really need outsource so you can focus on sales and a deep aspect of your business. My answer for that is getting on the phone, to Essie Escobedo, and she's another angel. She's the chief executive angel at Office Angels. Her number is 770-442-9246, or go to officeangels.us. And what she does is she will pair you up with an angel or two that will fly in, get those jobs done, those administrative tasks, bookkeeping, what have you, get those jobs done for you on an as-needed or ongoing basis, and they fly out. And they do this virtually, and so a pandemic doesn't scare them in any way whatsoever. They've been doing this for 21 years and have been a recognized award-winning business. And I know this because they support me in my business, and I know this personally. So if you've got some issues that you need some help with in your business and your organization, get in touch with Essie Escobedo, Office Angels, 770-442-9246, and let her know that I sent you. Folks, we would love it if you would subscribe to our show on your podcast app. North Fulton Business Radio is the search term, and we're on all the major podcast apps. We would particularly appreciate it if you would go on your favorite app, find the show, subscribe, but then give us a 5-star rating. And I'm asking for that, not for me, not for Business Radio X, but for our guests that do great work. And you've heard it from here from Christy and the work she and her organization does. It helps folks find the show so that they can connect with our guests, and that's what it's all about. So we would love it if you would do that. And you can also find us on social media. We're North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So for my guest, Christy Simons, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.